The round part of the orb, the orby part of the orb, is the world. And then at the top of the orb, we have the cross, which lets us know that God is over all things in the globe. And I'd like to invite Andy to come and read a short Bible reading to help us think about that.
It's Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground."
Thank you very much. Well, the story of creation is probably one that we are all very familiar with. God made the world in 7 days. God made Adam and Eve, and they did not follow his instructions, and they were punished. The part of this story that has intrigued me recently is that God tells Adam and Eve to rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. The earth and its contents were gifted to humanity. I think we can all agree that humans have been misusing the earth for as long as we can remember. This gift made me think of a wonderful Playmobil set that my eldest child had been gifted when he was 3 years old. It was a pirate ship and had lots of little pieces, which is exactly what you want when his younger brother was a small baby. Well, let's just say that all did not end well for this Playmobil set. Parts of it got lost or broken, sails torn, and pirates chewed on. Despite the warnings given, this toy was broken beyond repair. How must God feel when they look at the state of our planet, our gift that was given? As my son got older, he gained more respect for his Playmobil collection. He saw how others were treating their toys and wanted to do the same. We found replacements and added to the collection. Our planet might be broken, but we can try to fix it. King Charles was ahead of his time, championing organic, sustainable farming and protecting bees and other pollinating creatures. And we're just catching up now. There are so many small things that we can all do to protect and repair this planet, our gift from God. But it is not up to one person to tell us what to do. I hope that King Charles maintains his focus on nature and protecting the planet. It is certainly what we are all called by God to do.
A reading from Amos chapter 6. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God."
So that was the reading that I thought of when I was thinking about this scepter, that it's a reminder that we are called to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. So what does that actually mean? Now, I wonder who here enjoys playing board games. Put your hands up if you enjoy board games. Quite a few. And hands up if you've ever played Monopoly. Most of us, exactly, hands down. Now, I remember there was an occasion when we were little and I was playing Monopoly with my family. We got to the end of the game and my brother had won. But we did that thing where, you know, you add up all of your cash and your property just to check, are you really the winner or have I got more than you? And as he counted through one after another pink £500 notes, we all looked on and thought, how did he get all of those? He'd been the banker, everybody, and let's just say he'd been supplementing his income by dipping into the banker's fund, hence he was the winner. I was apoplectic with rage. It was so unfair, it ruined the game for me. So the first thing for me is when we hear that phrase, act justly, acting justly is about seeking fairness, but fairness for everybody, not just a few. There was another occasion when we were playing Monopoly, and this time my dad was winning. Flo, does your dad win at Monopoly? You've never played it. I know you're very competitive, so you should definitely have a go. My money is on you being the winner. We were playing, my dad was winning, and I threw the dice, went round the board, and guess what? I landed on Park Lane, where he had a hotel, £1,500 rent. I surveyed my pile of cash, and it was clear, even if I mortgaged my properties, I could not pay the rent. But my dad was enjoying spending time with me. He knew that if I was bankrupt, I'd go back up to my bedroom again, and he wanted me to stay and play. So he said, I'll let you off. You can just pay half the rent. And so the second part of the reading, when we're called to love mercy, another word for mercy is kindness. And what he did in that moment was he showed me kindness to enable me to stay in the game. And yesterday, King Charles was presented with a scepter, and with that came the responsibility of leading with both justice and mercy, leading in a way that is fair and kind to everybody, in the hope that this becomes a nation that is both fair and kind. And as we've said already, Trudy said about care for the world, the responsibilities entrusted to King Charles are actually entrusted to all of us as Christians, and I would say as humans. We're all called to act justly and love mercy, to be fair and to be kind. So there's perhaps a moment, whilst we might sit at home and watch on the TV and think, yes, but, maybe a point of reflection for us is, how are we living? How am I living in a way that is promoting fairness for everybody? And how am I demonstrating kindness to all?
This reading is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 to 15. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, whilst testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Now, we've already established that some of us yesterday saw the crown being placed on King Charles's head. Not all of us, some of us. It was one of the parts of the coronation service that seemed to have huge significance. My youngest child and I were multitasking whilst we were watching the coronation and were focused on an exciting game of chess when we realised it was time for the crowning. In fact, I had to say, oh, let's stop, because the crowning is about to happen. The crown did look very heavy and not at all comfortable. I particularly liked it when Justin Welby gave the crown a little twist to make sure it was firmly on King Charles's head, and then did the hairdresser's adjustment. Is it on straight? The last thing you want is a wonky crown. It all seemed so incredibly ordinary. Now, I am not disputing that the crown is made from precious materials. It is a symbol of power and authority, and I would very much like to try it on. I love trying on different costumes or artifacts and wondering what it would be like to wear them for real. Some of my favourite dressing up sets were princess, superhero or nurse's outfits when I was a child. It was nice to pretend that it, but it was always nice to go back to being me. Some of these characteristics still reside inside me, however. If somebody is hurt, I try to help and care for them like a nurse. I have unrealistic expectations about my capacity and my strength, like a superhero. And I am sure that my husband would agree there are many times when I act like a spoilt little princess. There are things in my life that I have worn that have changed me as a person. My wedding ring symbolised my position as a wife. My graduation robes symbolised the knowledge that I had gained during my degree. My lanyard that I wear around my neck at work shows that I am trusted with the education and well-being of the children in my care. All these symbols have changed me or identified me in some way. The symbol that has changed me most, that defines who I am and why I am here is not visible to anyone here today. In fact, it was washed off a very long time ago. The symbol that is me is the sign of the cross that was made on my forehead when I was a child. I wasn't baptized as a baby, so I'm fortunate to remember my baptism. And I can still feel the moment when I was signed with the cross and accepted into the Christian faith. I can remember what I was wearing, where I was, how big the stone font was, and how it felt when Father Winston gently yet firmly anointed me with oil. God is blessed and the only ruler, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. All the rest is just dressing up.